A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Daf Beis, the first daf in Baba Basra, theoretically we're on page 3, and we have the privilege of beginning this Masechta, the third in the series of Bavos, the gates of financial matter, Baba Kama, the first gate, largely about damages, Baba Metzia, the middle gate, largely about entrusted items, and Baba Basra, the final gate, which has significant amount about real estate. The Mishnah says, Hashutvim sheratzu la'asos mechitza b'chotzer. There are partners in a yard, and the yard is typically used for personal activities, somewhat private, and they are dividing this yard so that each of them will get a certain part of the yard. There's discussion whether this was a din chalukah, that they were obligated to divide it, or they're doing it voluntarily, but they've made a decision that they're going to divide the yard. Bonin es hakosel ba'emtza. There's an obligation to build a wall between their portions, as the Gemara explains, because of hezek re'iya, a damage done through sight, through seeing. So on an esoteric level, the Gemara does quote that a person is not allowed to stand by the produce of his friend and gaze at it because he can do damage. It's an ayin hara. He's doing damage, the evil eye. So we have to know how that works in Judaism. But there is such a concept that I could do damage by gazing at somebody's property. Our case, though, is focused on a different type of damage, a very, very functional type of damage, where a person will not be comfortable doing certain things in his yard because he knows that the other person could be looking, and it infringes on his privacy. The Gemara points out, on Amud Beis, for example, that in a house, the level of privacy is very high, and someone being able to look in through the window is a very great infringement. In the yard, it's a lesser degree of infringement, but it's still infringement on his privacy. The example I like to give is that the person wants to polish his shoes. He doesn't want to do it in the house. It's something he would do in the yard. And if he's open to the public, so then he's going to be compromised. He's not going to be comfortable using the chatzar for its functions. And therefore, there's an obligation to build a fence. Says the Mishnah, once we know there's a halacha to build a fence, there's certain minhagim, local customs, that get taken into account. Makam shenoagu livnos givil, gozis, kefisin, levenin, bonin. There are different types of walls that could be built. They're going to be different in their strength. They're going to be different in the amount of space they take up. They're going to be different in the expense involved. And both parties have to share in this endeavor. And the Mishnah says, Hakom keminig hamedina. It's all going to be according to the local custom. In Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, it's brought that indeed, it's all based on local custom, provided in Sif Dalid that it indeed addresses the rules of Hezek Re'iya, that the person can't look in. If you have a picket fence, that's the local custom, but it has significant gaps, and we're talking about the type of chatzar that needs privacy, so then that local custom doesn't satisfy our needs. In our time, our yards may very well not be used in the way their yards were being used. Some people have a mud room inside the house where they could do all kinds of different things that require that unique type of location. But if indeed there would be a need for privacy, so then we'll accept the minig to the extent that it still addresses that need. The Mishnah itemizes Gevil, Zenos and Gimel Tfachim, Zenos and Gimel Tfachim. It required a total of 6 Tfachim to build such a wall, so each side would contribute 3 Tfachim, handbreadths, of their property in order to get this wall built. And likewise, the Mishnah says, until Levanim, which take up the least amount of space of these types of strong walls, a total of 3 Tfachim in total, so Zenos and Tefach Omechza, each one is going to give a Tefach and a half. So the focus of our Mishnah really is Hezek Re'iyah, the damage done through sight and the obligations that are going to be incumbent on each one of these neighbors in order to build the fence that's required under these circumstances. A side ramification, though, is described in the middle of the Mishnah. Lefikach, therefore, im nafal hakosel, if the wall would fall eventually, years from now, hamakom v'ho avonim shel shneihem, the place and the stones themselves that people will want to reuse, they're expensive, are going to be assumed to be shared. Because we know that at the time that a fence like this is built, it's done as a partnership. Each one contributes land, each one contributes the stones or the money to the stones. It's a partnership. And therefore, if and when it falls, we can rest with confidence that it's a partnership and they should divide it. Tosfos points out in the end of Lefikach that even if the stones remained in one person's property for a significant amount of time, to the point that he starts making claims, he claims the reason it's been sitting in my yard is because it's mine. He claims he bought it. Whatever his claim is, Tosfos says, there's an anan sahadi, we say testimony with confidence, even though there are no witnesses, we say with confidence that when the wall was built, it was built jointly, and we will consider those stones to be owned jointly. And even though he has a migu, and he might have certain types of claims, he's going to have a very good claim for us to accept it, because our predisposition here is to assume that it's indeed a partnership. Tosfos in the top Tosfos notes that this Mishnah is well connected to the end of Maseches Baba Metzia, because over there was the Perek that described a house and the upper story that fell and how they're going to divide. And this similarly has in the middle of the Mishnah, the side ramification is that if and when it falls, we're going to do a division according to certain known approaches that we assume were used at the time that they built the wall. This also has a strong link to our discussion in the beginning of Baba Metzia, the previous Masechta, because over there, the first Mishnah described, Shnayim Ochazim Betalis, two people are holding an item. How do we handle it to figure out how to divide the item that they are holding? So the case of the Mishnah, which is considered the proverbial case, they're both holding a garment. together. Perhaps they picked it up together from an ownerless state, but they're both holding this garment together. By extension, it has ramifications for partnership dissolution. If you have two people who are considered partners in an office, and their desks, phones, bookcases, chairs, all kinds of things, they're like holding it together. And if one of them claims some of those items are his in a greater percentage, let's say he claims all of these bookcases were personally bought with my own money, or that entire set of books is mine personally. So then we have this situation where one is claiming the entire item, the other is claiming whatever his claim, either the entire item, or he claims it's a partnership. I claim we own it 50-50. How do you resolve these types of things? Our Mishnah adds another step into the endeavor of clarifying things, and that step is to ask, what is the custom in this industry for purchasing these items? Or better said, what was the custom in the industry at the time that this partnership was originally created? If it's common for people to buy their own chairs, his comfortable chair, then his claim might be enhanced if that indeed is the common custom. And our Mishnah is introducing the idea that if it's so understood that they build the wall in partnership, then if and when it falls, we can rest with confidence that indeed it was built as a partnership, and the claims that people make that differ with that assumption would really have to be proven. Indeed, at the end of the Mishnah, we find a concept called a chazis, which is that if a person builds a fence in an area where there's no requirement to build a fence, a bika, an open area, a valley, people plant there, but they don't necessarily build fences. So if he does build a fence, he should build it in a certain way with a marking that indicates that this fence is his personally, and then we will know that the property and the stones are indeed his. In business type applications, more likely than building in a certain way with a certain siman, they probably would document it in a shtar, in a document which can be put on file, that when we purchased the office, the following was the method. A certain painting was a personal purchase for his own office, and then that item upon dissolution would not be considered a partnership item. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.